WildTalkRadio.com.
On this day, you are about to experience CB Radio Not So Live. Live. Reviewing AEW Wrestle Dream. I don't think anyone has been fired in the last month. You mean there is no more drama? Thank goodness. Wait, is that Taylor Swift? Oh. She only shows up at football games. Anyway, it's time for CB Radio Not So Live. With your hosts, the producer, the intern, and the Keishi.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, what a show we watched this past weekend. AEW Wrestle Dream hit the airs on Sunday night, which is why there was no WTR Sunday night. But there is a CB Radio Not So Live, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple button directly below the screen. You can also use credit code Rockstock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag Epic Partner. As mentioned in the intro, I'm the producer. That is the intern.
Dear God, it felt like the show just ended.
And then there's Akashi.
My opinion is different. I very much did not feel like it took forever.
When you can pause the show and come back to the show, it doesn't feel long at all.
I mean, I mostly
when
just
you watch it live, 5.5 hours feel like an eternity.
That's fair.
That is fair.
They added a half hour to the pre-show.
I mean, I also watched the pre-show last night.
Same.
And then the rest of it today. So
same.
There's a bit of a break.
God damn you! I had to watch it all because I cannot watch this at work.
I mean, I just took a lot of breaks and
I watched it as God intended, all in one sitting.
I'd like watch a match, and then I'd like work for 2 hours, a match, and then work for 2 hours. I recommend it.
So yeah, that it was 5.5 hours of professional wrestling in the world of sports and entertainment. Brent, let's go through the pre-show. Tell me about it.
Okay, so your first matchup was an 8-person mixed tag team match. The reason for this, hell if I know. I mean, I know that Keith Lee and Shane Taylor got some beef going back to ROH, the old school days, but okay, so apparently Lee Moriarty has somehow joined it.
Okay.
At some point recently. Kojima was added to the match.
So Lee Moriarty joined Shane Taylor's little faction, which is how they ended up together.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where if there's like current beef with Keith Lee and Shane Taylor, I know there was beef with the ladies.
I was going to say, the way that the announcers were talking, the beef between Keith Lee and Shane Taylor is just old school. There's nothing current about it. It's just like, oh, he was, you know, him and Shane Taylor were together at one point, and then Keith Lee bounced, and now Shane Taylor takes it personal, and here they are.
Everyone caught that? That's just how it is? It's just, here we are. We got this.
And then, as you said, the women have been beefing on ROH TV.
But not everyone sees that, because it's under paywall, and not many people are paying for it.
And Athena, I guess, has gone a little crazy?
I mean, a little bit. So, I don't know exactly how, but she ended up taking Billy Starks under her wing, and
she's one of her minions now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And the other minion is Lexi, the interview girl, and they did a really hilarious video. You can go watch it on YouTube. I enjoyed it.
I've seen GIFs of that. That was really good.
It was funny. I don't subscribe to the ROH stuff, so I don't know all the details, but basically Billy Starks has been taken under the wing of Athena, even though I think Athena is trying to make Billy Starks more bad. Billy Starks is not having any of it because it's Billy Starks.
Somehow, she's an 18-year-old high school girl with a chipper personality.
Yes, she has not been beaten down by the thing called life.
Not yet. Not yet.
She was Thea Hale before Thea Hale met JC Jane.
Yes, give it time. And then, yeah, there's beef with Mercedes Martinez and Diamante, who are homies in ROH. And so that's where that came from. I'm not sure how it all got tied up with the gentleman. Clearly, Kojima got brought in because this was a show commemorating Antonio Inoki, and everybody loves Bread Club.
Bread Club is fine, and and the fact that they had to tell everyone what Bread Club was is something.
There were bread chants.
I know. I'll give you that.
The diehards, but yes. I mean, if my kid was watching the pre-show, he would ask me why everybody was chanting bread, and I would have to explain Bread Club to him.
Yeah. I just love the explanation, like, he just likes bread. And everybody's like, well, that's it.
There you go. I was going to say, for those who don't know, I was going to have you guys explain what Bread Club is.
Yeah, Satoshi Kojima just really likes bread. Okay. And it's like, it's not like, it doesn't matter, all bread. He's just a bread guy.
He is a bread guy.
I think, I want to say the last time he was on an AEW thing, they like gave him a bread basket. So like a basket of assorted breads.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he fight Kingston last time?
I think he did. Because I recall them machine gun chopping the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's the show that he got the bread basket.
Now, I will say this. Kojima can deliver really good shotgun chops.
Boy, can he ever.
The Lariat, not so much anymore.
No.
They made it sound like he was going to deliver a clothesline from hell that would make JBL and Stan Hansen proud. And boy, did Lee Moriarty just have to kind of take something.
Yeah.
So in the end, Team Keith Lee pulled out the win.
This was essentially your standard style pre-show match.
Yeah.
Not a lot to it. Everyone got some spots. Billy Starks looks like a little ray of sunshine, and Athena just doesn't know what the fuck to do with it. Like, you see Billy Starks, like, jumping and, like, doing, like, a cheerleader thing, and Athena tries to do it, and Billy's just, like, smiling at her, like, aww.
Aren't you special?
Basically.
So there you go on that one. What was next?
Next up, we had what was supposed to be, I believe, the Jon Moxley match of the night.
Yeah.
Before Moxley got hurt. And it decided to join them on commentary. It was Claudio Castagnoli taking on Josh Barnett.
Because why not? This is where Mox has started his swear jar for a night. He got fined for his commentary in this match. Because you can't curse on commentary, and then when they got on pay-per-view, all he did was continue to curse, so he'll rack up.
Now, to be fair, this is an AEW pay-per-view. You hear about 5 swears every pay-per-view.
Yeah, but this is the 0 hour.
Yeah, 0 hours on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I understand.
So when they set it up to be rated what it is, you can't drop shits on there.
I was going to say, considering that in the very first match of the night, during an Irish whip, you heard very audibly because of who it was, oh shit!
Yeah.
Oh, Maxwell.
We'll get to him.
Like John calls spots, Maxwell just swears.
Yeah. He does that on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
But Claudio and Josh had themselves a snug little match between the two of them.
They did.
I feel like it was kind of like they're just like, so should we have a blood sports style match? Yeah, let's have a blood sports style match. Let's do that. Okay, cool. Yeah, okay.
You mind if I actually lay in a European uppercut on you? Only if I can do the same. All right, yeah. Let's go. These two beat the high holy hell out of each other and then decided they were going to try and stretch each other.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it was very much like a style of match that you would have seen on Josh Barnett's blood sport.
Or Antonio Inoki.
Or Antonio Inoki. And a handful of other strong style Kings Road wrestlers.
Lack of blood last night was a nice change. Yes. Lack of blood on the show was a nice change of pace.
If Moxley had been in the match, he would have bled probably within the first minute.
Yes.
Although this could have been like one of the few times where he didn't do it on purpose. It could have been because like Josh Barnett diffed him in the nose.
That's very true.
Claudio
But yeah, I
Claudio got the win, by the way. Just so everyone
knows. Claudio got the win. And like I said, I think this was Moxley's match because they had said prior to WrestleDream, right after Moxley got hurt, that a lot of things changed, including Moxley was supposed to face someone, quote, not from AEW that was going to be a surprise.
Yeah. So
that makes sense.
And when they announced on Saturday, it was Josh Barnett. Rock sat there for a minute because I told him in the recap, and he's like, what? And then I was like, New Japan?
I forget he's part of New Japan. It's whatever.
Yeah, he was part of the commentary team with JR and Kevin Kelly.
Oh. Anyway.
After the match, Barnett decided to try and put Claudio over. I don't know, Casey, if it was just me. That felt really awkward.
I feel like it might, well, it's probably because it was unplanned, and I don't know much about Josh Barnett outside of the ring / octagon, so I'm not sure how much of a talker he is, but I feel like it was one of those things where, like, it wasn't planned. I don't know how many promos on the regular Josh Barnett cuts, which is probably why it seemed a little off.
Yeah, but it's okay. I mean, it worked to try and, you know, give Claudio a little bit of extra rub. So it's just also weird that he's doing that for a heel.
Well, indeed. I mean, I don't know. The BCC's all over the place these days.
Brian's the baby. Everyone else is the heel-ish kind of. I don't know.
Yuta kind of. They kind of go back and forth tonight. Mox is kind of going back and forth a little bit.
I think Punk being fired kind of switched their plans because now Brian has to be the lead babyface instead of Punk.
Yeah.
So. That's kind of where we're at on that one. All right, what's next, Brent?
All right, next up is a grudge match. Luchasaurus takes on the Billy Stark of the male division, Nick Wayne.
He's nowhere near as bubbly as Nick is. Rick.
No,
well,
no.
Not bubbly, you know, that fresh-faced 18-year-old.
Oh, yes. From that standpoint, yeah, he's just a little bitty baby.
He's just a little guy. And boy, did the little guy get thrown around.
He got thrown around a bunch. Luchasaurus won. There's
he
really
got no. chucked.
More on him this, later. Yeah, this, we'll get more
this
back.
Is something that bugged the hell out of me by the end of the show.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it then.
This match or kind of the overall?
A little bit of this match, but the overall sentiment.
Okay, we'll get
how it plays into something later.
For sure.
And then your final pre-show match for your AEW World Trios Championships, we have the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass is back, because I had to ask Rock, is he technically Daddy Ass again? And the answer was yes.
Yes.
Takes on TMDK, the Mighty Don't Kneel, which was Bad Dude Tito. Yes, I actually had to make sure that was the real name.
Yes, the
Shane
first,
Haste. Good.
Bad Dude Tito was the first American member of TMDK.
Okay. Shane Haste and Mickey Nichols.
So, Brent.
Yeah.
Explain to me the rap.
Oh, the rap. So, in the four verses that we got from Max Caster,
mm-hmm.
had a hentai / tentacle porn reference.
Yep.
We had a glory hole reference.
Yep.
Yep.
And a slapjack reference.
Yep.
You betcha.
So, explain to me why Moxley gets fined for cursing, yet we get a hentai reference, and it's all good.
Well, technically, hentai, the word, is not technically
bad. No. I'm sorry. He called it tentacle porn.
Yes.
So.
I don't know.
Because tentacles is technically not a curse,
and porn isn't technically a curse either.
Porn's a thing, not a curse word.
Medium.
And
you can't call someone. You can't like walk down the street and be like, "Hey, you're being such a porn right now." That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, you can't be fined by calling someone a porn star, so you can say the word porn on television.
So I'm just wondering how many kids got to have that fun conversation with their parents asking what a glory hole was.
Well,
I mean, if the parents are smart, they would use the non-derogatory meaning for glory hole.
Okay, it sounds from experience. Casey.
No. But I just went, as you were saying that, I wonder how I would respond if my kid asked me what
that's
what
I mean.
Yeah.
A hole in a wall. I mean, yes. A hole in a wall.
I mean, really, I would get down to, it's an adult thing. You don't need to know about that until you're much older.
Yeah, you will learn about that many, many years from now. Don't worry. In short, the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn won.
They retained their titles. That's what matters the most.
I don't think there was any doubt.
No, there was no doubt.
The Acclaimed were going to win.
No.
Which was good. I thought TDMK did a good job. I didn't know that Shane Haste was no longer with WWE, so that was a bit of a surprise.
He got let go a long time ago.
Yeah, like a year or two.
Like 2 or 3 years ago. He's been working the indies.
I feel like I saw him on something WWE related recently, like the video game or something. I was like, who's that? And then...
He may have been in the... No?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember.
Well, the funny thing is so Shane Haste was the only member of the Mighty Don't Kneel who got to stick around. Nichols got cut real fast.
Anyway, that was the buy-in, the kickoff, whatever you want to call it. Let's get into the main show. It was for the ROH Tag Team titles. MJF defending against the Righteous, Vincent and Dutch in a handicap match because Adam Cole Bebe broke his ankle.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
That was my fault.
It was your fault, but they built a ramp on that goes to the ring. That was dumb.
Anywho. I mean, they technically had, well, no, this one actually was the floor.
This was on the floor, yeah.
I mean.
Well, Arthur Ashe has always had the ramp.
Also, like, if you really think about it, it's the same height as the apron, and theoretically, a wrestler should be able to jump down from the apron and not hurt himself. I think the problem was just, like, his momentum carried him to a point that he just landed funny.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah, it happened.
I've injured myself doing stupid things more often than not.
Yes.
It's usually not from anything serious. Oh, you hurt yourself. Yeah. How'd you do that? Nah, I don't want to talk about it. Most of my injuries don't happen from doing like sports or wrestling or anything.
It just so happened Adam Cole's mishap was on live television.
Yeah.
He pulled a CM Punk.
He
inadvertently broke his ankle.
And both involved MJF.
And jumping.
So
MJF is not good for run-ins. Let's just put it that way.
Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Good for run-ins.
Yeah. Anyway, this was a solid match. MJF got off the power slam, or the body slam.
Yep. I loved the pre-show or the pre-match comments with him.
A little Hancock promo he threw.
The what?
Like in the movie Hancock, where he's like, "I'm gonna take his head and I'm gonna shove it up your ass."
Yeah, I'm going to take Fat Boy here and body slam him, and then I'm going to take White Guy with Dreads. Good choice, by the way.
Yeah, bold choice, by the way. Good for you.
And then take it and shove his head right up Fat Boy's ass. And I just like that Vincent the whole time is just in his own little, you know, Wyndham Rotunda-style world, just like dancing around and everything. Dutch just, I'm trying to peg what the Righteous are. I can't right now.
They're the Righteous. That's all you need to know. Righteous.
I know. That's what I've realized. They're just the Righteous. But they are an interesting bunch.
They are an interesting bunch. But the Kangaroo Kick.
Woo!
And then the Heat Seeker for the win. MJF retains the ROH Tag Team titles on his own at WrestleDream.
I love the fact, though, that he still put his feet on the rope. He didn't need to, but he did it anyway just because he's an asshole.
No, because he's your scumbag.
Right, but I like that he embodies that, or like the whole like sportsmanship handshake, poke in the eye, and then he just turns to hard cam and puts his arms up in the air like, yep,
I did that.
That's me.
So one ROH belt down, another ROH belt is on the line on the AEW show. This time it's...
Oh, wait, and a New Japan belt.
I was getting there. The ROH title is on the line as also the New Japan Strong Openweight Championship. It is Shibata challenging Eddie Kingston for the titles. This was Shibata trying to get the Triple Crown in one night. However, he was unsuccessful with Eddie Kingston retaining the belt. Thoughts?
Wanted to beat each other?
It was the epitome of a strong style match. If you were talking about wrestling, be like, oh yeah, in Japan they have this style called Strong Style, and also this style called King's Road, and they're very similar, and it's very much just like Japanese people beating the crap out of each other. And someone's like, oh, where can I watch that? Here's the most recent example.
Here's a bar fight between the ropes. Have fun.
I mean, there was some technical stuff in there too, because Shibata, but you know, like,
oh,
I
yes.
mean,
Shibata tried to stretch him as well.
Shibata is like. he is one of the best examples of like your like hybrid Japanese wrestler who is technically sound, but also will beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, if like he is a he's like a really good all around example of what Japanese wrestling is.
And we found out something interesting in the post event presser.
What was that? I didn't get to that. Tell us.
Shibata is not signed by AEW.
Well, that's
he's expressed interest, and Tony has called him his favorite, yeah, but Shibata is not under contract with it. I mean, he's probably doing like per appearance deals with Ring of Honor and everything, but
I think because they're treating ROH like an indie, it's fine. So
right, but it's just interesting that for as much as we've seen Shibata, that he's like per appearance.
Yeah, it makes sense because he's probably under some New Japan contract that conflicts with whatever they're trying to do. So
yeah,
and if he bails on them, that would sour the relationship with the New Japan. So I don't think that's going to happen. So they're just putting trust in it all.
Yeah, it's 100% them like, we want you to come wrestle here, but I'm in New Japan contract. Okay, can you do per appearance deals? Yes. Okay, let's do that.
And it works out for them.
Well, because yeah. I think Shibata has expressed that he wouldn't mind being under contract with them.
Yeah, they probably has to negotiate when his New Japan contract ends to see if he can maybe do like a hybrid deal where he has contracts with both companies and figures out a way where they don't conflict with each other. And with, you know, with their relationship being as it is right now, it's probably possible.
Well, and especially with New Japan Strong, I mean, with that taking place here, he could still do New Japan stuff and not have to, like, go all the way to Japan if need be.
That is
just go to the West Coast.
Just go to the West Coast, yeah. Up next is the TBS Championship on the line. Chris Statlander defending against Julia Hart of the House of Black. I enjoyed this one.
I thought it was really good too.
Really good match.
It was a good mix of styles in which Hart was trying to get the submission. She was trying to be a little bit on the faster side, and Chris just proved how much of a beast she can be in the ring.
I enjoyed Julia Hart's little submission. I like how she like traps that one arm under her leg and kneels down.
Mm-hmm.
It really feels like, yes, she's small, but she's got you tied up in a believable way.
I believe it's the Heartless or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a nice variation on a Rings of Saturn.
Yeah.
That like, listen, I'm not that big, but if I put my whole body on top of your arm, you're not going to get it out of there.
Yeah. I really liked from Julia the suplex / throw from the top, and then she ended up almost in the Statlander-esque pose.
Oh, yeah. The like, where she does the like spider German
like
suplex,
like the tree of woe.
Yeah, that's good too.
And I like that she looked at her and just shook her head no while she was hanging there. It's the little things about Julia Hart's character that has helped her light years from where she started being the cheerleader.
Yeah, I think this transition into like when it started, I was like, okay, let's see where this goes, and I think she's done a very, very good job with it.
Did not know she was on a 28 match winning streak coming into this one because they don't tell you that on television at all.
Brody King did.
Once, I think.
Well, Brody King is the best spokesman for the group.
But, like, they don't tell you this. Like, you know, we built up Jade with a big winning streak. You could have done more to accentuate that on television.
Actually, Rock, I bet you they did. Check the lower third.
Yeah, I'm not reading the lower third.
Yeah, but it's also like been more heavily profiled on like Rampage and Collision, which is why if you don't watch those on a regular basis, you're not going to know.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
Probably, but you would want it, like, even in social posts, like, promote it. Tell people, like, she's on a winning streak of some major, like, because if they did it would put more behind the match. Like, she's
coming
in
the video, they could have thrown that in there too.
Like, she's on a 28 match winning streak up against the undefeated TBS champion, who's what, 15-0 or something like that this year. Mm-hmm. Like that,
which streak breaks tonight?
Right, that they could have done a better build with that is more what I'm saying. Anyway, Chris Statlander retains the TBS championship.
I think in this moment, it was the right call. I think Statlander has more matches that she can get through with that belt before you move it to someone else. Not that Julia doesn't deserve it, but I think giving Julia a quick run now, we talked about this on Saturday, I think this could be a good thing of like, okay, Julia proved that she could hang, and if you wait a few weeks and then have her pick up the belt, it's like, okay, cool.
But
because you can, go ahead. Because you can have Statlander go on the kind of like that, because she's doing the whole, like, I'm a fighting champion, and it could be almost that Orange Cassidy style run of like, yeah, she's defending every single week, but how long until she just wears down?
But at the same time, now what do you do with Julia Hart? Do you go back on a winning streak, or now does she start losing matches? And if that she starts losing matches, then the winning streak was pointless. I kind of feel like you kind of needed, she needs a big win somewhere for something.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think she has to go on a big winning streak. But I think she needs to get a signature win before she tries to hold the belt.
Okay.
You give her someone like a Sheeta to beat.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, she's ready.
Yeah, we'll see. I just hope they, like, she's making progress. She's growing. I hope she doesn't get stagnant now that she's grown in her role. And then they do whatever they do with everyone when you, hey, you're on a roll, then you lose, and then you're kind of forgotten for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope that's...
I mean, it would also help if they had more than one women's match, but...
That's besides the point. You have tons of television where you have Collision and Dynamite now. You can start featuring different, like, giving them signature wins. You've had two divisions of your AEW women's roster. Let them cross-pollinate now, because Jay doesn't have the belt. Cross-pollinate them somewhat. You've had your second tier and your top tier. Let's give the second tier some wins over the top tier, but we'll see. Up next, it was the AEW number one contenders match for the tag team titles. It was the Young Bucks taking on the Gun Club, taking on Phoenix and Penta, taking on Orange Cassidy and Send Hook. This was good.
I thought it was very, very smooth. There wasn't a whole lot of like hiccups in the match until kind of just right at the end.
Yeah. But you can tell
like,
they... Oh, go ahead.
The flow was really, really good. I didn't, like... There wasn't a whole lot of botches in it. For a car crash multi-team tag team match, it was, like, it flowed awesome.
Yeah. I was going to say, you can tell they were protecting one member of that match very much, though.
Ray Phoenix was taking... I don't think he was in the match much. I think he was taking to the back or something.
Yeah.
He started the match with Matt, the guy he's going to face, and he never really took a bump. I mean, he took the one that was into the guardrail because of his shoulder, but other than that, he never really took a move because they're trying to protect him.
Yeah.
Get him to next week.
Just trying to get him through it. Young Bucks are now your number one contenders.
Called it.
I mean, this is fine.
I figured, but I have to pick the team that I picked for reasons.
Well, the funny thing is if you went with three of the teams in the match, they already had a belt. The Young Bucks are part of the ROH trios. Ray's got the international belt, and even though it's not fully recognized, Hook has the FTW championship.
Yet the team with the tag titles got a tag title match.
Yep, well.
And they're also getting a singles title match, so Young Buck Week in AEW.
Look, John Moxley and Ray Phoenix screwed up a lot of plans, okay?
But I don't think it screwed up who was fighting this week on Dynamite. That's all. Just saying. Anyway, up next, whose house?
Oh, it was Swerve's house, all right.
Swerve Strickland, Hangman Page. Good match.
Wonder who the hometown boy was.
Well, sure shit was not cowboy shit.
Nope.
No.
No. Swerve was in his backyard and the fans loved him.
Everyone loved them some Swerve.
And everyone loves themselves some dancing Nana.
They do like some dancing Nana. Yeah.
I don't know what move that is, but boy did he use it.
It's the Nana.
And the Nana is over. I like how they were putting it over on, I think it was on the pay-per-view, where how the dance is a meme.
Yeah. Well, was it they caught it like off camera at like it made the rounds on social, him just dancing and people losing their shit, and now it's like, okay, we'll just feature it on TV.
Yeah. And then they did the heat thing the other day where no, you can't do the dance.
Yeah.
Anyway, good match. Swerve wins. Swerve needed the win, I guess.
He really did, honestly. Paige has got the trios belts, and I know in the build it was the kind of like, everything's going good for me, but it still feels weird. Swerve?
Well, and Swerve's last match was that coffin match, and he lost, so...
Yeah,
yeah,
with his dreads hanging out the back of the
yes.
coffin.
So, like, yeah, it made sense that he got the win on this one, which yeah. I wish I would have realized
where his house was.
My pick. Yeah.
Was in Swerve's house. So there you go. By the way, chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. Click the purple rectangular button below the screen. Up next, Ricky Starks, Wheeler Yuta in a grudge match, I guess. Mox was on commentary. He was silent, basically the best part of this. I mean, the match was fine, but Mox on commentary was just amazing.
Yeah, he had quite a few lines of the night.
Yeah, this one just felt weird. Only because of the fact of, like, okay, so I get that Ricky Starks has been feuding with Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And Bryan had the big match on this show. So it's like, what's the next thing we could do? Well, Claudio has to pick up John's match. I guess that leaves Wheeler? But it felt really weird having a heel-heel dynamic.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. The BCC has been sort of heelish. Now they're going back babyface, while Starks was an over babyface who they turned heel to do the Punk angle, and now it's just continuing the heel run.
And they added
Big Bill.
Big Bill to it too, which is just I don't know.
Who knows? Anyway, Ricky Starks gets the win. Rambo for the win.
I do have to say I like the one part where he tries to do the hammer and anvil elbow, and the look on Wheeler's face as he's getting hit with it, like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Like, I get this every day from people who are 10 times better than you, and it just, all it did was piss him off. It was great.
So there you go. Mox stayed on commentary for Bryan Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr. This was really good.
I don't think there was a doubt that it wasn't going
to
be.
No, there was no doubt.
Oh. I mean, it was so good, John Moxley almost pooped himself.
That is a statement.
For any number of reasons, really.
For many
reasons.
So many
reasons.
So many, many reasons. They were trying to do history with Antonio Inoki and Billy Robinson and talking about when the last time two of the best technical wrestlers ever fought, because it's Antonio Inoki night. Yeah, this was really good. Bryan got the win. There's some chatter on the internet afterwards. How Zack Sabre, you're supposed to make me submit, and you won with a knee. They're trying to put the knee over on commentary. How, you know, he won with a not a technical move.
Yeah.
In the technical classic. So probably gonna have this probably Wrestle Kingdom. Bryan and
that's kind of what I was thinking.
Sabre.
Yeah.
Because I think
Bryan finally gets to go over to Japan.
He wants to get at least one in Japan, so because he can't, he's never going to be able to do a G1. So they'll at least get him one at Wrestle Kingdom.
I mean, if they're not going to let him do the G1, I guess Wrestle Kingdom, New Japan's biggest show of the year, is
it's okay.
It's a little consolation prize, yeah. Guys.
And I don't think his body could handle the G1 anymore.
No.
The fact that they had Eddie Kingston in the G1, I think, was surprising to me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but now Eddie Kingston is no longer doing independence, so...
Here we are. But yeah, this was really good. Danielson got the win. Up next, Omega Ibushi Jericho versus Takeshita Guevara and Ospreay.
I loved the fucking painting in the intro. As an art history nerd, you do the Last Supper with Don Callis as Jesus. Oh my god, that's amazing.
Did you see that there's two blurred out faces, which means there's probably two more people
everyone
coming?
No, it was the fact of the only faces you saw were the people of the family.
Yeah,
so there was more than two. There was like 7 or 8 blurred.
Oh.
Yeah, it was anyone that wasn't part of the family, they fuzzed the face out.
I only noticed two, so I was like, maybe there's more people coming. So, who knows?
There probably is.
The family grows. This was good.
Yeah, it was everything that it needed to be.
It was nice to see Ibushi take over the Sammy role for the pose.
Yeah, I love that. but if you look, it switched around. So technically, Jericho did the Sammy pose because he did a little spin, and then Ibushi went on top of Jericho like Jericho used to do on top of Sammy.
Yeah, the lean and pose.
Yeah, the golden sex gods.
The golden sex gods. Yeah, that's what they call them. Oh, Lord. Anyway, thoughts on the match?
It was good. I will give the people in this match their credit. Even Jericho. I didn't know if Jericho was quite going to be able to do some of the stuff that, like, Ibushi and Kenny would do, but he hung with them.
Yeah, he held his own. And, yeah. like, think he, I mean, he didn't do, he wasn't like Omega Ibushi levels of crazy, but like he did enough stuff that you're like, okay, yeah, yeah, okay.
And it was also kind of nice to see they were mixing in Jericho with some of the spots, but you could still tell that it was like, and I mean, they referenced it a little bit on commentary. It was like, yeah, it's the Golden Lovers and Jericho. So Jericho didn't quite know what to do sometimes with Ibushi.
Yeah.
And he was trying to work with Kenny, but it's like, you know, they haven't paired a lot. So it was interesting just to see those kinds of dynamics play out.
In the end, Guevara pins Jericho.
Which is kind of what's needed here.
It keeps the Don Callis thing going.
Yeah.
It keeps the story going. They can draw it out a little longer.
Kenny still has yet to win without Don there.
Mm-hmm.
And also, giving Sammy that win over Jericho, I think, is important.
After Jericho beat him at Grand Slam.
Yeah.
There you go. The AEW tag team titles on the line. FTR taking on Aussie Open. Good.
Sorry, Mark.
Yeah.
Sorry. I saw that with, like, a few minutes left in the match. He took that move and just, like, held his arm close to him. And I was like, oh, yep. There's that. There's a wrist.
Yep.
Unfortunately. But yeah, good match.
Yeah. They played all the hits.
Each team tried for the power and glory multiple times. One team finally pulled it off.
FTR hit the Shatter Machine, get the win, retain the titles.
The Shatter Machine.
I
guess somehow involved throwing him off the top rope, which makes it
even more impactful.
It's slightly higher.
Super Shatter Machine.
Slightly higher?
Anyway, so FTR, Young Bucks 4 coming up in the future at some point.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, the tag team championship opportunity is at any time.
Yes.
Yes.
So is it a money in the bank style thing, or is it just you call your shot and it's that next
I think
week?
It's just call your shot, because they're probably waiting to figure out a date.
If they don't have a briefcase.
That would just be funny. You just see the Young Bucks come running down the ramp at some point.
They'll figure it out.
One of them takes off their shoe to hand in for it.
Main event, 2 out of 3 falls for the TNT Championship. Christian Cage, Darby Allin. Darby Allin got the first fall. Nick Wayne's mother was in the crowd.
I thought that was Nick Wayne's sister for a minute.
No, it was his mother.
She looks young enough to be his sister.
Good for her.
I know. It was one of those like, damn.
Yeah.
Then Christian starts hitting on the mother, the widow.
Of course.
Then she throws a drink in his face. And then this is the point in the show where Darby Allin
is an idiot.
Is an idiot. Yep, that's a good way to describe it. He's an idiot. He's a stuntman. He just takes a beating, keeps on ticking. Maybe. I don't know if he's still ticking. His arm probably is banged up. He took so many bumps on the steps and missed the first one they missed, and he just landed on the floor.
One, he just took the bump on the mat.
And then
and it was like, ow.
Like from the side of the ring apron to the floor, ow. Then he dropped him when he's on the floor onto the steel steps, and then they're like, nah, let's do it one more time. So he tries to lift him up for a suplex. Darby can't plant himself because his shoulder is already banged up a little bit, so he has to awkwardly pick him up for a body slam and throw him on the steps. Just like,
yeah, on the jagged part of the fucking steps.
And he goes shoulder first right into
it. Yeah, because he was trying to turn around and look where he was falling.
Yeah.
If he just trusted the fall and trusted Christian, he wouldn't have landed directly on his shoulder. He would have landed on his back the way he wanted to. But midair, you watch him turn.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
It was Balor, essentially.
Yeah.
When
you get thrown like that, whether it's getting tossed into stupid objects or even at something as simple as like taking a power bomb, you don't turn around and look. You don't stick your arms out. You have to trust your ability to fall and hit. And I mean, into stairs and barricades and stuff is a lot harder than a mat, but you got to trust yourself. And like turning around and looking for where that is not the way to do it.
And so he just got dropped right on his shoulder. Looked nasty.
Right on his shoulder. Oh man. Like, at the very least, it's dislocated.
Mm-hmm. So they did the count outs. He got a count out, and then he's getting put on a stretcher. They do a frog splash onto the stretcher. That's just, there's no give on that. That's just painful.
I mean, there was a little bit of give because there was a bounce.
There was a bounce, but you're still just, yeah, it's just.
I mean, it's the same as like getting spine busted in the middle of a boxing ring.
doesn't feel good, way you put it. Then Christian's pulling apart the ring, so we have the wooden boards exposed.
That's the one thing I like, is, so Darby's getting attended to by medical personnel, the referee, and everything, and Christian's just stepping over him and cutting the ring apart.
I thought that was good. He's just like, instead of standing there, he's like, I'm gonna make you set it this time.
Yeah. Well, at first he's like untying it, and then he realizes, like, oh shit, some of these I can't get to. And so then he finds the knife and just starts cutting them all like you normally see.
Nah, who's got time for this? So, kill switch on the boards, near fall. Fans are getting behind Darby. Christian goes for the spear. Darby sidesteps it. We have Scorpion Deathlock. Darby gets out of it.
We have Scorpion Death Drop
then, afterwards. That guy near fall with after the coffin drop. Then we got
all on the boards.
All on the boards. Cage goes for another spear. This time hits the ref. Cage then goes after and gets the title. He's gonna, you know, do something with it. Nick Wayne comes in, steals the belt away, and him and his mother are celebrating. He had my son did. See what my son did? He took your belt. Then Christian is in the ring, and Darby is up, and him and Wayne are ready, and Darby's like, get him, boy, get him. And then Darby goes, nope, smacks
Nick Wayne smacks Darby with the belt.
Yeah, Nick Wayne smacks Darby with the belt, lays him out. Nick's mother is shocked. My son, what did you, why, what? No, I can't believe it. And the best part is the producer, one of the production people, is in the crowd with the mother, like, trying to pull her back, like,
yeah.
I was so awkward.
We need to get you out of here.
Yeah, I was so awkward.
You need to go now. Let's go.
Let's go. Time to leave. Your spot's over with. Get out of here. Christian ends up winning and retaining the TNT Championship. Afterwards, Christian comes out. Christian's celebrating. Nick Wayne is celebrating with him. They start beating the hell out of Darby Allin, which brought out his dad, Sting, not his actual dad, but Darby's AEW father.
Work dad, okay? It's weekend dad.
It's work father. Sting comes out slowly to help out, to even up the odds. Then the odds, you know, get taken over. 2-on-1.
With the 2-on-1.
There, Luchasaurus comes out, 3-on-1 on Sting. Lights go out, we have a feature presentation. Sports cars driving. You see rated R on the streets. Everyone goes, oh. And then, you think you know him. Plays Metalingus, hits, and out walks Cliff.
Cliff?
Cliff?
You know, Edge, Cliff.
That's funny.
Adam Copeland, the rated R superstar, does his entire WWE entrance.
That's what I was gonna say. He comes out and it's just, oh, hey.
Does the whole thing. Whole entrance, everything involved. The fans are chanting, holy shit. Christian's like, what do you do? My friend is here. So they were going to do the concerto on the Stinger. So Edge is like, all right, I'm going to do it now. And then wham, right to Nick Wayne with the chair. Takes out Luchasaurus. Christian leaves. Everyone else eats a spear. Excalibur or someone goes, the Radar Superstars in AEW. Adam Copeland has arrived. He is here. He's one of us. Christian just stands there looking and, what is going on? And then sad Darby Allin gets to his feet, who's in pain, you can tell. But he's holding back tears. And it's like, I want to shake your hand. So he shakes the hand of Edge. Sting and Edge shake hands.
With the hurt hand, right?
Yeah.
he holds up the hurt arm.
He's like holding it, though, as in, like, please don't shake it too hard.
Yeah. You just saw the pain on his face. It was, yeah. So, everyone, it ends with the rated R superstar standing tall with Darby and Sting.
I hated the way this played out.
All right, go.
I get, like, Rock, last pay-per-view, what did I say was going to happen?
The turn.
The turn was going to happen because it was the whole, Darby was being forgiving for AR Fox after Fox turned, and it was just like, no, this guy came and, like, beat me up in my dad's gym, and you're just going to be absolvent of it? You could tell that they were going to get to that point, and I don't mind the fact that he turned on Darby. Again, we knew it was coming. I hate the fact you have him in a match with a guy he's going to side with earlier in the show, because is it the whole, oh, we played you, I got my ass kicked by this monster, and I pulled one over on you? Or is it just the fact of, like, he got beat the shit out of so bad that all of a sudden it's just like, yeah, no, I'm going to turn tonight.
Just well the way for the explanation.
It just, it doesn't make sense in that arena, and I hate when they do that kind of storyline of, like, it was like the Bully Ray for Aces and Eights when he got beat up at the wedding, and his whole explanation is, sometimes you gotta take a couple of punches to, you know, get to the end point. It's like, no, if you're gonna be in charge of this group, are you really gonna be like, yeah, kick my ass? That's gonna show them. I hate that trope so much. And it was on full display here.
Mm-hmm.
But you knew that turn was coming when Nick got the belt and then he stood next to Darby. I'm like, yeah, that's going to be that spot where he just like, huh, right next to him. And it played out that way.
It played out that way.
Although I do appreciate that Nick Wayne's mom wasn't in on it.
Yeah, maybe she was.
Well, I mean, as of right now, she isn't. She was as shocked as the rest of us were. And I'm glad that she wasn't like, ah, ha, ha, we fooled them all.
Yeah. So, Edge is here. Yay.
The new era begins.
The new era begins. We'll see what they do with him. He says he's there full time. See what that means.
Well, I think Tony now is trying to do something with the backstage between having Edge and Brian there. Because,
mm-hmm.
No offense, I don't get me wrong, I enjoy Jon Moxley as a performer. I don't think him as a locker room leader is quite what you want.
No, I would.
As a locker room leader from like a wrestler perspective, I do.
From
as
a wrestler like, perspective, okay.
As like a behind the scenes helping Tony Khan with like booking and stuff, Edge and Daniel Bryan make more sense.
Who right. were doing it in WWE.
Yes.
Right. And I think for Bryan, he realizes that, you know, he's talked about it. He's got about a year left. He's gotten to the point where it's like, I'm not going to be in the ring much anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got some of that experience under Vince in the WWE. And I think AEW kind of gives him that chance of like, after I'm done, this will give me that kind of, it'll help satisfy that urge being around the ring. It won't be a cold turkey, I retire again.
Yeah, and this time he'll be able to kind of go out on his own terms, so I think he'll have settled more with it.
Right.
He also just doing interviews. Yeah, I'm just going to roll to Defy one weekend under a mask, and that's going to be it. just wrestle whenever I want.
Edge is the same way, too.
Yeah,
I think Edge is that kind of thing. Like he knows he doesn't have long left. He wants to go, you know, be with Jay. His daughter wants him to be with Uncle Jay, as they said in the pressers. But it's just like, it gives him a chance to get those last couple of matches, those last big ones that he may want to get out, and then, you know, go back to doing movies or whatever he wants to do.
So we'll see where that goes. All right, housekeeping.
All right, here's the housekeeping for this. So we had 7 competitors as part of the Wrestle Dream Pick'em. In 7th place, we have, at 5-9, the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tied for 5th place, going 50-50, The Wheel, and in an off week, our AEW expert, Lindsay Ward.
I think she did it on purpose.
She's through. She threw.
She threw some of those. Yeah, she threw it.
She was throwing. She was throwing.
I messaged her after the pre-show when she was 4-0, and she was just like, oh god, no, damn it.
She threw. No, I'll say she's still the expert. The best. She tanked it.
Yeah.
She submitted
tanked it right, on purpose.
On purpose. She tanked it.
You know what?
On
sometimes
purpose.
You have an off week. It's fine.
Look at the people on television. They always tank it. Yeah. On purpose.
Lindsay finger poked of doomed this month.
You know what it was? This was her Julia Hart match, where it's like she had the win streak going into this, and then it just wasn't her night, but she'll come back raring to go again.
The fact that she said it was on purpose, that means she's still the expert. She knew what she was doing. She expertly picked them wrong.
Yep, she tanked it on purpose, so she is expert at tanking it. So she not only knows AEW, she knows how to throw.
Continue.
In 4th place, going 9-5, is our producer, Sir Rockin.
Hey.
Tied for 2nd place, going 10-4, we have Subway and our other co-host here, 1 Keishi Matsunaga.
Yay me.
And that means, in 1st place, Solo, going 12-2.
You think you know me.
the intern.
That's very impressive.
The only one to pick the Young Bucks.
Ha. Anyway, that'll do it for C-Rio Not So Live. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Next time, we're back to all together, the three of us, for C-Rio Not So Live Live. Full gear?
Yep.
Possibly?
I think it's November?
It is full gear on November 18th.
Okay.
From cool. The Kia Forum in Inglewood, California.
Oh, on a Saturday.
Oh. Saturday?
Yep. Yeah, it's a Saturday.
Maybe it won't be not so live and they'll just be live. I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
Oh.
I don't know. Oh. Who knows? I don't know. That's too far in advance for me. Anyway, Thursday night, it's the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, CB Radio Live is live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern following WWE Fastlane. Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio will be live at 10 p.m. Eastern. These gentlemen will review it. We're back Monday nights for the Wild Post Show at 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and the website.
CBRadioLive.com.
Final thoughts, Keish?
I very much enjoyed this pay-per-view. I was going to say premium live event, then I realized we were reviewing. yeah. No, I liked all the matches. I thought they were all very well done. So, you know, nothing but good things to say about it.
Indeed. Final thoughts, Frank?
Swear to God, if Full Gear is another 5.5 hours, including an hour and a half pre-show, so help me God, Tony.
He's going to get on the internet and complain about it.
I mean, I'm already on the internet complaining.
Exactly. Chad, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to what's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle at the bottom below the screen. You can use Creator Rocket Talk at the $4.99 shop because Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair are currently in the shop. Hashtag Epic Partner. We'll see you all week long along the airways. We're here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live at wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLive, and
CBRadioLive.com. Another chance to chase a dream, another chance.